Hello?
Same to you, sir. I'm listening to you.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear you playing, so I thought perhaps you weren't hearing me, you know? I trust the best for you for the week in the country in general. Besides, I want to also say to you how pleased I was yesterday at the program that the radio hosted. I thought it was very educational, and I thought I really thoroughly enjoyed it, you know? I always enjoyed Mr. Nasser's contribution to the program and so on. I thought it was very enlightening as well. And let me say as well, I heard the two callers mentioning the possibility of your higher calling. And I know that calling would be in journalism or reporting. And I know and I believe that you will not accept any position that will stymie your integrity and reporting. And I am sure that you wouldn't do that. And you will get that in writing so that people would understand out front what you stand for. I remember when you were asked to do a reporting on the COVID the other day, you backed down because it seems as though there were those who were giving you the questions to ask or giving you directions.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
I don't know what
you're talking about. What reporting on COVID are they backed down on?
No. Remember when you were supposed to be one of the reporters who were to be asking questions when a group of doctors and so on were supposed to be meeting, and you did...
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, you don't remember. Okay.
I don't know what you're talking about. The most recent issue that I was involved in where I declined was that St. George by election debate or something like that. I don't know of anything else I've declined. I've decided that I won't be at every news conference that has been called. I don't need to be at every news conference that is called. But I also made a conscious decision that we had been reaching a point that was serious. And I felt that because of my years of experience and stuff, that I should at points become involved in raising questions associated with this disease. But I have not been, I don't know anything about nobody giving me no questions, because I'm telling you categorically right here and right now, nobody has ever done that to me. Nobody has asked me to do no questions, to put questions before me, because over the years, I think people understand that that is not the way that I operate. And I would be grossly insulted if somebody came and told me, these are the questions I want you to ask. My position on asking questions is simple. Sometimes people say to me, I want you to tell me what you are going to ask me. I say, I have no difficulty. I give them what you want me to, I will give them. But you know what? The other questions come from what they tell me. So it makes no sense telling me to give you no questions. You know, it makes no sense.
Right.
Like you can still ask me for a broad outline of the areas to be covered. That's reasonable. But these specifics, I'm believing that as a journalist, I'm going to stick to these specific questions. And whatever you ask, whatever answer you give, I'm just going to follow on to the next one. That don't make sense. So what's the sense of doing the interview then?
Right. So that's why I said I think we can have a confidence that you will not, you know, allow things to any person to...
Look, to be honest with you, I don't want to prolong this issue of where I go and what I do.
All right, let me go on to the other one.
We're going to have some time for that later, but don't prolong
that.
Let me go on to
what I want to say. I'm not sure if you are aware that there are doctors that now have to stay at hotels. They're not, because not being able to go home for fear of, they've contaminated their families and so on, or the protection of their families. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
That is what I think the Queen Elizabeth Hospital needs to do from time to time, to update the public of Barbados as to what is happening. Because you may be right, but you may also have information and skew that information in a way that is not consistent with what is the truth. So what is the truth? It must come from them.
Well, the truth is, let me say this to you. Only just this morning, earlier, I was speaking to a family member who said that their relatives and a very close one has to be staying at the hotel. So that was from them. But what I'm saying is that...
And I want to tell you that I am aware that some of the junior people, junior doctors, have tested positive. The hospital last week indicated that at the time there were 21 members of staff who had tested positive. And what has to happen here is that in the same way that they are reporting to us what's going on with respect to the national count, the question is, do you feel that we need to know that as it relates to our premier health institution?
Because I understand there are those who have not been contaminated that also stay in the hotels. So, I mean, what I'm looking at, I'm thinking about the costs to those who are doing that, if the cost is going to be subsidized or part of it by government and so on. You know, I think that this is something that should be spoken about and people should be aware of it. And
I think you need to realize that no matter who you come into contact with today, the safest way of dealing with this is to assume that everybody got COVID. Mm-hmm. That's the safest way. One of the points made by Dr. Corey Ford that stood up for me last weekend was when he said that many people in Barbados now know somebody who has tested positive for COVID. That was, for me, the most telling comment of all.
And therefore, we all need to be very careful of what we're doing and who we're mingling with. The other thing I want to say, Michelle, is here that I want to suggest to government that if they're going to consider closing down further, that they should. Of course, they just can't go and close down just automatically. They have to give supermarkets and businesses time to talk back up with their stock and all of that. But I was
Here's the dilemma. Here's the dilemma with that. You know that there's a body of opinion that giving people that window to get ready for this latest lockdown helped to spread this virus because of how aggressive it is?
Well, the way it is now, I'm speaking about supermarkets and places that have to put back in food in there for a person to get. I'm not talking about the flocking because I think that people are going and flocking these places unnecessary because you got from Monday to Friday down to do any shopping. They don't know if it's necessary to all these long lines and so on and doing that. I don't think that is necessary, really, you know. But I think that people are doing things that they ought not to do. They don't have to do that. But we're just speaking about having to talk back so that people ensure they're getting. And also, they need to take into consideration pensioners, like what had happened here the other day where they said that the post office will open back at the 18th, and pensioners will obviously be getting their checks late. So I would like to suggest to the Prime Minister that they take that part of it into consideration as to when they're going to close down, so that they either decide that they're going to let pensioners get the 2 weeks' money one time, or if they do that, it'll be done in a way so that the pensioners will not be at a disadvantage, because then there are those who have to eat, drink and still pay the light bills and so on. So we want to avoid that kind of hardship on them. Thank you very much, Ms. Ellis.
Okay, thanks. Nice to hear you. Down to brass tacks. It was interesting listening. Yes, good afternoon. Good morning, rather.
Morning.
Yes, please.
Hi, good morning. I was listening to the caller previously. What I had called initially to speak about would have been Dr. Ford's his interview on Saturday. And he was saying that he passed by some supermarkets and it looked like December the 23rd or the 24th. But my thing about it is that you will always get that influx of persons because there are only so many supermarkets that are open. So if it's not your truth, I don't think you should chastise us for it. People have to realize, because of COVID and probably even before, persons more or less live paycheck to paycheck. We don't have the kind of money anymore that we can bulk buy. Some of us actually have to go to the supermarket on a regular to replenish. We have children. They're at home doing homeschool. And you can't leave them by themselves. Then you shorten the supermarket hours. So the supermarket now is from 8 o'clock until 4 o'clock. And it's highly unlikely that you'll be able to achieve every single thing that you want in the supermarket during that period, because you're more or less crunching. My only hope is that with this press conference that the Prime Minister has, that she actually looks at having a few more of the mini marts open to kind of eliminate some of the stress placed on the larger supermarkets, which right now seems to be our only option.
I understand you. And from the very beginning, there were people who have been making this argument. I remember having someone on Brass Sacks from the time it was introduced who thought that it was going to have exactly this effect by putting more pressure on the supermarkets. Now we have at least one supermarket that has had what has been described as a super spreader. So, I mean, I'd like to hear how the Prime Minister sets about trying to deal with this situation. I mean, it's very difficult.
The reality of the situation is this. This new variant, which we have here, is highly contagious. And it's highly unlikely, Mr. Ellis, that it will not affect persons and you will not find those large numbers in supermarkets, in stores, in wherever. COVID is here. We have to deal with it. We have to find ways to protect ourselves. We have to do what we are accustomed doing. Up to this morning, I actually signed up to have the vaccine because, as Dr. Lard said, it's our only option. We don't have much options. There are persons who are saying, no, they don't want to get the vaccine, whatever, whatever, whatever. I prefer some level of defense, some level of protection rather than none. Even if it's a 60% protection, at least I know within myself, I have some level of protection from me, from my family. Like, I have to get the COVID test done. And honestly speaking, it is, I think the wait more so to get the results is what causes the anxiety. But at least you know what your status is. Everybody has to do their part to change the narrative. Yes, I agree. But with this new variant, it's highly unlikely that it's not going to touch people. Highly unlikely. Everybody will be touched in some form or fashion. My only thing is that don't chastise us for trying to go into the supermarkets, because you are, I often say persons of privilege sit on their thrones and look down on us. Because it's not their narrative. So don't blame me, because that's my only option.
Yeah, you have to look at the policy that you put in place and see to what extent that particular public policy approach may well be worsening the situation, helping to contribute to the numbers that you are seeing there. And you have to balance that against the natural human reaction in the circumstances. That's what's important.
So very true. Person, and I actually sat and I listened to his interview up until that point. I just started to shake my head, because I am like, oh no, like we have no options. We have few supermarkets, few mini marts, no village shops to actually supply the entire island. We don't have much. I don't know many people who prefer to do the online shopping, because online shopping comes at a cost. And right now, it is crunching dollars. You're not going to pay $15 for someone to deliver. Remember, Sphere is $3.50. That's how I look at it. You can save that little them couple of coppers. You're going to go in the supermarket and you're going to buy what you got to buy. That's just me. But I just hope that with this press conference that she gives, that she actually looks into that. Because it COVID is here. It is spread. There's nothing much that you can do other than continue to do what we are doing. you are going to see a rise in numbers because, as the doctor has said, this new variant is highly contagious.
So, hello?
Hi. So that's my only thing. I just hope that she lets the extend to open a couple more supermarkets to stop the crowding. That's it. Or even extend it. No, don't close it the Saturday and Sunday, even if you give us an extra day and probably let them open a little hours. Because you shorten the hours and they shorten the days. So then you create the lines. That's just my two
This
minutes.
Person wants to know why are Bajans so sensitive about blame. Can you answer that question? Time you state a fact, people say you're blaming.
It's not about casting blame, because there are some persons who would like to say, okay, well, you're bringing the tourists. I don't cast blame, Mr. Ellis, because as I said...
No. The person isn't saying that you are casting blame. You are saying, don't blame us. And this person is saying, why is it that people are so sensitive to when the government, or they interpret the government to be blaming the people? Can you explain why? Why are you sensitive to this idea that you think they're blaming us?
Because in truth and in fact, we have to take some of the responsibility, don't Miss Alice?
That's true. But why are you offended? Why are you offended when you think that they are blaming us? I understand that we have to take some, but you're not the first person. Somebody put out a video the other day, and he said, you know, they're talking down to us. I have friends who are saying exactly what you're saying. So why? Explain why? How do you feel when it comes across as though they're attacking you?
I get angry, and that's why I had to call, because it annoys me. You literally sit on your throne of privilege, and you chastise persons because you see a line. But the line is not a result of the implementation that we made. We live in by your rules. Those are rules that you created, which is supposed to help bring down the numbers of COVID. What we live through right now is a result of the implementations of the government. That's not us. Because for my one part, we would like to go to the supermarket or go to the shop as usual. But unfortunately, we cannot. We have to abide by the law. We can't do anything after 7 o'clock, because apparently COVID is a vampire. So when 7 o'clock, COVID gone, and he gonna only come back out after 6 in the morning. Which I really truly don't understand, but anyhow, that's the policies that we got to enjoy.
All right, ma'am. Thank you very much for your contribution. Hello.
Hey.
Welcome to the program. We're going to bring the tracking the latest at 11:30. I need guidance as to when we are going to bring the other program that we normally bring just before tracking the latest, which is the regional roundup. And all of this is because at 12 o'clock, we are going to join this presentation. It is dubbed as a news conference, I see, but sometimes what is called a news conference these days is not really a news conference, and sometimes it is a presentation. But in any case, whatever it is, we are definitely going to go to the press conference. They say here that it will be chaired by Dr. Jerome Walcott, and it will also include Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Bostick, who is the Minister of Health and Wellness, the Infectious Disease Specialist and Head of the Isolation Facilities, Dr. Corey Ford, and Senior Medical Officer in the Ministry of Health and Wellness, Dr. Anton Best. Okay. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm okay. And you?
Fine. I would just like to say that most of the leaders and the countries around the world, including Barbados, have described the fight against COVID-19 as a war. Right? And in a war, everyone is on board. Everyone is on board in a war. Pushing the narrative of the country or whatever. If you listen to the narrative coming out of CBC and VOB calling program, there are two distinct narratives, right? there's an innocence. The message from CBC is being pushed a positive message. While at VOB, there is a narrative, narrative reinforcement of negativity, to my mind. To be brutally frank, as far as I'm concerned, Mr. Ellis, you got to carry a lot of blame for this. You allow the people be negative or criticize the government position on COVID-19. You allow them to rank and rave, and then you and this is called independent analysis. You jump in a link, and then push your negative narrative, right?
Example.
As I just said, that's all of it. I mean, you push the narrative that she was pushing. That's why Barbados isn't going in.
We got to go to this, the newscast that we talked about earlier, but there's only one thing I'm going to tell you. CBC is a government-owned station, and with that, it has conducted its business a particular way over the years. We are an independent station, as an independent station, there is certainly going to be a difference in how we do things. Underlying any negativity that you may hear here, there is the objective of making Barbados better. That is our positive edge. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Brass Tacks, good afternoon, good morning rather. It's 11:37, reminding you that at midday we are going to cross over to what has been we've been told is a news conference by the Prime Minister and other officials of government relating to COVID-19. Hello? You're on the air? I don't know if Statsman is still there, but the truth of the matter is that this whole question of what is negative and what is positive is largely influenced too by positions that people take. And some of them are influenced by being pro-government or being anti-government. As an independent operator, an independent radio station in the country, we really ought not to be swayed by either of those things. The most important thing here is truth. Where are we? We are also partners with government in the fight against COVID. There's no doubt about that. And if you listen to us, you will hear that we are putting out information supportive of the government's effort to get people to take COVID seriously. There are differences of opinion that will arise from time to time on that approach. Expressing those differences of opinion are not aimed at undermining any government, but they are aimed at trying to put the government in a position to hear the other perspective. And the truth is that sometimes that other perspective is given to government in private and it is ignored. Sometimes the only time people believe that they must respond is when it goes public. So, you know, at the end of the day, that's what this mission is about. And, you know, if you think that there's too much negativity, well, you perhaps need to check the kind of political bias that you bring to this program as well, because we've listened to you for quite a number of years. When the Dems were in office, you were a big anti-Dem person. Since the government changed, you are the greatest protector of the government. But sometimes the government's greatest enemies are its greatest protectors, because they are not interested in saying what the truth may be or examining the truth. You pick up something in your head and you believe it, and we must go with it. Well, we can't do that. We can't do it that way here. All you need from us is the opportunity to hear as many sides as there are to this situation or any other. To ask us to do less than that is to ask us to be less than independent. That's my view and my response to you. Okay? Down to brass tacks.
You have me muted, eh?
Pardon me?
You have me muted?
I didn't mute you.
No, but what I'm saying to you, right? You cannot give me one single instance. I have criticized this government administration about three occasions.
How many?
Give me about three.
You mean in 2.5 years? Over 2.5 years, you could only find three occasions
of it.
Criticize anything?
Well,
you prove my point.
I said scrutinize. I said criticize. When
criticize.
Done the wrong thing. But they're not necessarily doing. I can't criticize them if they're not necessarily doing a wrong thing.
Yeah, well, that's a question of your subjective assessment.
No, subjective. I am saying to you, right? Even Professor Fraser interdict. I didn't call today, you know. Even Professor made a comment about that moderates lending. People say, well,
I have not been here advocating any position against for or against vaccines.
Yes, you might.
So you can refer to me.
Listen, right? You said you went to a funeral with Mr. Jones. And you had an interview with Mr. Jones. And
I defended that already. I put that position already.
Let me talk about it.
I put that position already. I'm not here continuing a conversation with you to try to defend. You came with an accusation. I listened to your accusation and I've responded to your accusation. I don't need to prolong this discussion with you. That's where the balance comes. You attacked and I responded to your attack. What more do I need to give you now? You want blood?
Because you see, this is what you usually do. You brush people aside. Now I'm saying
I brush you aside. You articulated your position.
I never raised that.
And I gave you this, but this is something else.
You made a
general accusation about the stance that is taken about the negativity versus the positivity, and I have responded to you. Where else do you want us to go with this now?
Look, right? I'm showing to you. You just allow people. You see how you're trying now to have it with me? I heard callers, including the lady that spoke before.
Well, you believe in censorship. You believe in a censorship that I don't believe in.
No, I'm not talking about
censorship. The calling program cannot thrive by censoring as many people as you want me to censor. The people I express the view.
I am not talking about censorship.
What are you calling it?
What I'm talking about.
Will you just call it? You don't call it censorship. What you call
it? No, it's not about censorship. Chances is when you don't let somebody say something. I'm saying if somebody is going in the wrong listen, right? She's blaming. I said, look, listen to Chapman and them. This is where we're at. The government put the protocols in place. That's all they can do. The people of Barbados should observe the protocols. So then they can blame a government for putting a faulty government. You understand what I'm saying? It ain't more faulty. They want to direct to the government what they should do. The government is responsible for putting protocols in place.
Statsman.
Yes.
Statsman. When somebody says the government put the protocols in place and they should not blame the people, she's saying, look, for example, and that's why this is about discussing the pros and cons of every decision, you know. This is not a situation where we must just put out the positive angle for the government and anybody else who is critical of it, we must shut up.
No.
Because those other people that's your judgment. Your judgment is that they're wrong. The position is, as she said, the public health protocol which has been implemented in relation to supermarkets, in her judgment, is creating more harm than good. How can you say no to that?